One for me and one for you guys, too. So I'm going to see if I can get you guys to say something into this microphone in a little bit. But at our Sunday school, we usually start by singing. And this is called a children's meeting, but I think we got lots of adults here, too. Let's let them sing along with us, too, today, all right? In fact, I'm actually going to ask for some help with the songs that someone can start them. This is a special children's meeting because we have a different hymn book that we get to sing off of. So take advantage of that. The back page is especially children's hymns and choruses, which Rosemary seems to have one picked out already. And if you know some other children's songs you'd like to sing, I borrowed some from BTP, so we can use that one too. So, Rosemary, which one do you want to sing? Number one. Okay, we'll sing number one then. And again, if someone could help start these songs, I would appreciate it. Another one of your children have one from this hymn sheet or the other hymn book? William, which one would you like? Number six this time.
I'm glad you guys like these
other gospel hymns in this hymn book too. Sometimes we say this is a children's song, and maybe this is an adult song. But you know, they all talk about the Lord Jesus and His love, and so we can all sing all these hymns in this sheet. Number six.
Thank you.
I was told before this Sunday school that
there were supposed to be 35 children here under the age of, or 12 and under, I should say. Now, I know there's some that are very, very young that can't sit up here in the front rows, but if you're old enough to come sit on the front rows, we still have lots of empty chairs, and my wife was telling me that she didn't think there was enough chairs for children up here. So come fill up the chairs if you're 12 and under. And you know what? So Jaden doesn't have to sit all by himself on this row. Emma and anybody else, we need a couple more children up here. Thank you, Rosemary. That's nice of you, too. All right, good. It's nice to see all you children here. We got a good group of kids. We're going to sing another song, but before we do that, we need to talk to the Lord Jesus and ask Him for some help in this Sunday school. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes so you're not distracted, and we'll pray to the Lord Jesus and ask Him for some help, okay? Let's sing another song, and then I'm going to get this microphone out and see if you guys can help me with memory verse that perhaps you learned. So who else has a song? Laurel, did you have one? Number 40. We'll sing number 40. If we could, maybe we can keep the pace up. We don't have a lot of time to sing because I get kind of long-winded, so we'll sing really fast. Maybe we'll get another song in too. Not really fast, just nice.
Jesus must be this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Another nice song. Maybe we'll sing one more, and then we'll say our memory verses. Ian, which one would you like? Number 41? Okay, number 41. We'll sing that one. Now, there's several of you kids from Lawrenceville, and I know you thought you were done with me because I just had last week's Sunday school in Lawrenceville, but I get to ask you again to say your memory verses. But this time, I'm actually just going to ask for volunteers. I won't make you say it. So, who would like to volunteer to say their verse? And I have a nice microphone for you, too. And just to show you that it's nothing to be afraid of, I'll say the memory verse, too. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? All right, Tally, would you like to say it?
Greater man hath no...
Greater love.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man put down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Okay, who else? Laurel?
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man put down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Hey, good. Do you want to say it, Lily? We'll get to lots of you.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Yeah, boy, you guys are doing such good. Boys and girls both. Okay.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man shall lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Okay, you guys are good at using that microphone.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Good. You can pass it down.
A greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Okay. Did you want to say it too, Jaden?
Greater love that hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Okay, good. Okay. Well.
Greater love that hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. John 15:13.
Say it, Rosemary.
Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. John 15:13.
Okay, good. Glad you learned that. Now, we missed a few of you over here.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Thank you, Elise. Becca, you want to say it? Okay. Annie? Anybody else?
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Maybe I'll give you another chance if you want to say it later too. Because it's a really nice verse. You know, we have a lot of nice messages in the Word of God. A lot of little notes. And a lot of them are about love. And in this verse, we have love and friendship. And so I got to thinking, how am I going to talk about love and friendship to children? And then I remembered something that Bobby told me on the phone, Bobby Woods. He said, Barry, you're young. And I think maybe the children want to hear from somebody that's young. And I didn't really think I was that young, but we're going to try this out. Okay? What we're going to do is we're going to go way, way back in time. Okay? We're going to close our eyes. Everybody, all the children anyway, close your eyes. Don't fall out of your chair. Close your eyes. Bear with me for a second. And we're going to go way, 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 way back to the last century. Okay? Okay, you can open your eyes now. Now, it doesn't look like anything has changed, but now I want you to imagine, because I can see it perfectly clearly. We're in the Bridgeport Grade School. Now, some of you kids are in Bridgeport Grade School, but not this time. Bridgeport Grade School, there was a boy, his name was Barry, which happens to be my name, what a coincidence, and he was just a little skinny guy with fairly short. In fact, he was about 2 inches shorter than all the rest of his classmates. He had blonde hair, and he was in the fifth grade, okay? So this boy was sitting in class, and he looked around, and he could see all his classmates. There was, Scott Evans. He always had new Nike tennis shoes. And there was Michael Gray. His dad was an insurance agent or something. And he always had a short haircut and a nice tan. Then there was Jakin Clark. He was just a skinny, short guy too. And there was a girl, I don't remember what her name was. And then there was Jacob McDaniel. He was one of my best friends. He had really spiky hair. And he was a preacher's son. And there was Eric too, and Karen. I don't remember all of their names, but I can sort of remember being there. So I'm going to try to talk to you from the standpoint of what it was like when I was a kid going to school. But before we go back to the classroom, I want to go to my bedroom. In my bedroom, there's a bunk room, bunk bed. And my brother was in one bunk. He was in the top bunk. And I was in the smaller bunk underneath. And then he had a dresser next to his bunk bed, and I had a dresser next to my bunk bed. And in that dresser were, of course, the normal things that you would find. I had some shorts. I had some shirts. I had some tennis shoes from Walmart. And I had some socks. And in my sock drawer, in the far right-hand corner, was a little yellow box. And in that yellow box, I kept all my most valuable, precious things. I had a little wheat penny. Anybody seen a wheat penny? Yeah, okay. So I had a wheat penny in there. I had a belt buckle from my grandfather who served in a hospital in World War II. I had my piggy bank in there. I had every wristwatch I'd worn since I was a baby. And I had a picture of myself with my Brazilian friends, especially the long-haired ones. And what else did I have in there? Oh, and then right behind that box, kind of hidden as much as I could in case Mom decided to put some socks in the drawer. Sock drawer is not the best place to hide your valuables. I had this box. And this box was reserved for the most precious things, the most things that maybe I didn't want other people to see. So I'm going to pass this around, this wooden box right here. It doesn't look like much on the outside. What's important is what's inside the box. But if you can pass it around quickly, one to each other, you can take a look at the box, and when it gets back around here, I'll collect it again. So you can take a look at that box. Now let's go back to the classroom in fifth grade with this little boy. And now, when I went to school, we were supposed to bring 3 things to school when we started school. One was paper. So I have a piece of paper. Piece of white paper. Okay? Now, we were also supposed to bring a number 2 yellow pencil. I accidentally forgot my number 2 yellow pencil, so I don't think Mom would have minded if I grabbed the permanent black marker. But it'll do the job. What else? If we had it looked like it was going to be a good harvest, we might get the 24-pack of crayons. Now, Scott Evans always had the 96-pack, and Jacob, he always had the 96-pack, and he was a preacher's son. So anyway, I probably was more jealous of my friends than really willing to lay down my life or care about my friends in school. That's not what our verse says, is it? It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, when I was in school in fifth grade, maybe it was sixth grade by then, we were out in the recess, and we liked to play on the swings. And Jacob and I were swinging on the swing, and it was getting close to the end of recess. And out of the blue, I don't know why, but there was a boy named Paul Gunzel. Yeah, that guy, he had always messy hair. He was a big guy, too. And he came up along with his friend Bo, and they just started punching my friend Jacob McDaniel. And so I thought, well, I'm going to protect. I'm going to fight against my... You didn't get it open? Guess you won't know what's inside then, will you? he started punching my friend Jacob McDaniel, so I thought, I'm going to get back at him. So I came up to Bo when he wasn't looking, and I punched him right in the shoulder. Oh boy, was that the right thing to do? No, of course not. I probably should have laid down my life for my friend, but I thought, I'm going to, in my own power, I'm just going to take over matters here, and I'm going to whip him. So I gave him my little scrawniest punch that I could, and he howled. Only he didn't howl out of pain, he howled out of anger. And he started chasing me. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to get you. Oh boy. Well, you know what? I didn't really stand up for my friend. In fact, I just ran. You know, I was little, but I could run faster than Bo. That was the important part. At least I thought so in my mind. I forsook Jacob. I didn't care about Jacob. All I cared was to get away from this Bo. And I also had a brain, and I said, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to go up to the teachers. Well, that didn't stop Bo. He wanted to still get me. Well, I came up to the teachers, and I started pointing fingers at Paul and at Bo like this. Their fault. This whole big thing is their fault. Well, I was trying to get away from Bo, and I stepped back on the teacher's foot. Then the teacher howled. And she wasn't in pain either, but she howled that we were all going to get in trouble. Now, she thought Bo had stepped on her foot. I like, ha ha. Problem is, I was associated with the whole problem there. I had caused my part in that problem. And so we were all sent to the principal's office. And you know, I think I started to learn a little lesson. And I don't know if it was so much the principal's office or the love of my parents when I got home from school. You know, my parents thought I was going to school to learn about math and science and maybe some art with this paper. The teachers thought we needed this so we could do some artwork. This paper and number two pencil. Yeah, we used the paper. We used the number two pencil too. That's what we tended to do with those sort of things. Or maybe we learned some math and we passed notes. Like this one. You want to see this note? Everybody watch her. Or maybe this sort of a note. While the teacher's not looking. Who's going to get this note? You can have Emma help you read that note. Yeah, we tended to pass notes. Well, my parents thought I was learning lots of important things in school, and I probably was, but one of the important things I was learning is about love and friendship and how to interact with one another. And I already told you in one way in which I failed. So we took these papers and we took these pencils and we took these things and we gave them to each other, and it was called passing notes. And as I got a little older, the notes got more detailed. So the first note was, what's on that one, Jesse? First of all, it was a wadded up piece of paper thrown at you. A little bit of artwork. Yeah? And what about the other note? What was that? A little bit of math. It was a important math, wasn't it? I would give that to somebody a little smarter than me, and the question on the piece of paper was, what is the answer to 2 plus 2? And what I was hoping is that Clint, or maybe Jacob, one of my friends, or Eric, would write the correct answer on it and turn it back to me. And then the last one that I wrote was what, Emma? You have a pretty dress. Yeah, and as we got older, the notes got even more important. Until when maybe I was getting into 7th, 8th grade, it was getting more like something we call love notes. Now, where do you think the love notes went? Where do you think, Elise? The girls. They were supposed to come from the girls and end up in the brown box. I'm glad you couldn't get this box open. Okay. Well, you know what? I thought those were pretty important back when I was in school. But you know, the Lord Jesus has left us some messages in the Bible. He's left us some notes, lots of them, about love and how precious we are to Him. Does anybody remember the memory verse from last week? Oh, I always ask this question in our Sunday school. You should be prepared, Jesse. Last week, I believe, now I might be off, I forgot to bring my Sunday school paper, but it says, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels." So He sees you as very precious, and He has a lot of love for you. As our verse, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends." So as I was going through school, I was learning some things about how we interact with love and friends in school. But also, I went to Sunday school, and through the help of my parents, I was learning some of these memory verses or these love notes from the Lord. Now, I know you're all disappointed that you couldn't read my love note, but I have some love notes here, and they have some other people's names on them. Evan, you get a love note. Now, you can read that yourself. I'm not going to make you read these out loud. I have another one. Oh, sitting right next to you. Laurel. Now, I'm going to confess to you that I'm afraid I don't have that many love notes. I've got another one here for Adam. In fact, I don't know every child's name in this room, probably. It's a little different than the Lord. He knows you all by name, and He has a special love note for all of you. He cares a lot for you. And so, where would we find the messages that He has for us, the notes He has for us? On a piece of pretty paper, like this one? Where do we find the Lord's messages, the Lord Jesus' messages of love to us? Ian? In the Bible. It's full of them. We need to learn to take these messages personally. Even as children, He's speaking to each one of you. Now, I have a couple other love notes here. You want one? I'm glad you asked. It's very nice to seek the love of the Lord. And in so doing, maybe, not maybe, He will show us His love. So I'm going to put your name on this one and give this one to you. In fact, I'm going to put a pretty pink heart on it too. Because the Lord really cares you more than just pretty paper and hearts. Our verse says He actually gives His life. Now I have one more love note here, just one left. And I need a volunteer who would like to handle this love note. Okay, Isabel, but what I want you to do this time is put somebody else's name on it. And I'll give you a sticker to stick it and give that to somebody else. Because it's nice that we can say these verses out loud in the Bible that talk about the Lord Jesus' love for us and also share with others that it could be for them as well. So, can you think of somebody else's name to put on that one? And it doesn't have to be a kid. You know, it's for adults too. And you can pick whichever heart you want and stick that one closed and go give them that love note. So the Lord cares for you, and He has all these verses about love. Now I want to move on a little bit till I'm in high school. I'm going to tell you another story. And again, things were becoming more and more important that we knew what love was and what our friends were like. Okay, she's going to take it back to, oh, there we go. Nice to be able to share these with other people. So I got to high school, and in high school there was one week, it was around Valentine's Day, where they had a fundraiser. And their fundraiser, you can keep those hearts, those are for you. There was a fundraiser, and for that fundraiser, they asked for volunteers, and as volunteers we were to make flowers, paper flowers. Now, they were a little more complex than the paper flowers I made last night. But, Jaden, what's your favorite color of flower? Blue? Okay, blue flower. You were allowed to purchase a blue flower, and when you purchased a blue flower, it meant that I think you are cool. So you would purchase a blue flower, and you would put somebody's name on it, and then it would be delivered to that person in the last class of the day, the last period. I think it was eighth period. I don't know how many periods you guys have now, but something like eighth period, it was delivered. You really looked forward to getting that blue flower because it meant, I think you're cool, dude. So you like a blue flower. What other flower colors are there? Jesse? Yellow. Yellow said, best friends forever. Okay. How about any? Pink. Well, we didn't have pink, but we had red, which means I love you. Okay, what other colors did we have? Isabel? Purple. Well, we had one that had some purple in it. It was a multicolored one. It meant that you're crazy, weird, and awesome in a good way. Not sure about that one. And then there was also, William? White flower. You want a green flower, or a green flower. Yeah, well, we didn't have any green flowers, but they did have white flowers. And white flowers meant I'm thinking of you. Didn't know what that was supposed to mean either. So anyway, Monday came along, and each flower cost 50 cents. Now, 50 cents was a lot of money back in that day. I have 50 cents right here. That's two quarters, right? Now, 50 cents was a lot of hard work, a lot of money. In fact, in my day, I had to pick up two buckets of rotten apples to get 50 cents. So it was very precious. If I was going to buy a flower, I was really going to have to like that person. It really means something to me. So here it came, beginning of the day, everybody goes, and it was the first day everybody wanted to be first in line to buy flowers, to show that they loved and cared for their friends, or maybe their other people that they liked. And here comes eighth period, and I'm in class with Scott and Jakin. We'd changed a little bit. I hadn't changed much. I'd gotten a few pimples and maybe a little shorter yet than everybody else, 2 inches shorter now. And Jakin, he'd grown up and to like 6 feet tall, and Jacob had learned to play the drums, and Michael Gray was the quarterback of the football team, and my friend Clint, he grew a goatee. Everybody seemed to be way better off than me. You know, we don't need to compare ourselves to our other classmates. The Lord loves each one of you individually, and He knows you each by name. So along comes eighth period, and Barry's sitting in the front row, of course, and they start calling out names. Scott Evans. He had another pair of new Nike tennis shoes. Jakin Clark. Come on, come on. One for Barry, right? Jacob McDaniel. No, wait, he got more of these kind, I think. Jacob McDaniel. Of course, all the pretty girls got these. But nobody got one for Barry. How do you think I felt? Not very good. I thought, well, at least someone would think this about me. And come on, Jacob, if you're getting these colors, maybe at least we can be best friends forever. No flowers for Barry. Next day comes along, Tuesday, Wednesday, same thing. There weren't quite as many flowers in the middle of the week. And by the end of the week, everybody's money had run out, except for the flowers for Scott Evans, Michael Gray, another one for Scott Evans, even one for Paul Gunzel. Remember the bully from fifth grade? Finally at the end, here comes a flower. Oh, it's not going to be for me. I'm not going to get a colorful one or a red one. Maybe the last flower, the second to last flower, along came one of the colors, and it was white. Oh, I was so happy. Where do you think that flower went? Straight into this box. You know, it's nice to be cared about by other people, and we need to care for other people. You know, I don't think I bought very many flowers for my friends. I didn't really care for them that much. So we start to learn, even as children, what it means to be cared for and what it means to be loved and how to treat our friends and how not to treat our friends. But what's still more important is what we memorize today. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you know, you can look around a high school like this or the one that I was in, which was Red Hill High School, and they have a lot of sayings on the walls, and we're all trying to understand about this love and friendship thing. And I just encourage you to read the love notes from the Bible that the Lord Jesus gives us. You know, I was sitting back in my chair back there about halfway back, and there's this big pillar in the room there. And if you look past that pillar, you see on the wall up here a big word in white. What word is that, Adam? You, that's right. And then the rest of it's kind of blocked, and then I can read the last word on the end. What's that one say, Annie? Loved. So I thought, that's you, loved. There's got to be something in the middle. It's called a verb. So I looked here to the left. I kind of leaned over because the pole is in my way, and I leaned over, and I read, A.M., you am loved. I don't know what kind of English they speak down here in Kentucky, but I might be missing something over there, but I think it's supposed to be, you are loved. So even in school, we're learning that we're loved. But by whom? Loved by our friends? I hope so. But more importantly, we have the Lord Jesus who loves us and cares for us. I'm going to tell one more story before the time is up. This is a true story, and it starts with a ship. It was commissioned, on March 24th of 2018. Yes, it's where you have moved all the way to the current day. We're no longer back. I'm not a kid anymore. It's a ship in the U.S. Navy, and it's called the USS Ralph Johnson. Now, Ralph's a common name, or it was a common name. It's not so much now, but back when he was born, it was a common name. And Johnson is a very common last name. But Ralph Johnson is not a common man. He is one of the few, proud, the Marines. Now, I picked up from the back of the room here a pamphlet from the Marines. It says, take your place among the few. And they have a lot of important things in here and a lot of encouragement to go on. One of them, it says, develop quality citizens. No Marine passes through our gates without gaining principles that can be called upon throughout a life. So school teaches us some principles about how to live life here. But the Bible teaches us principles about how much the Lord loves us, cares for us, and things that will be useful for all of eternity. The Lord Jesus laid down His life for us. This man, Ralph H. Johnson, was a Marine during the Vietnam War. And he was about 18 or 19 years old, so he was just out of high school. Now, he went out to battle, and he was in Vietnam with another man named Cleve, I think was his name, or Cleve, who was his commanding officer. This young man was just a private, Ralph. And they were supposed to go out in operation called Operation Rock. And so they went out. This was a reconnaissance mission. They were supposed to go out and look for the enemy, their binoculars and all the other tools they had. Well, the operation got canceled, and what ended up happening is they were stranded out on this hill called Hill 146. Now, on Hill 146, they didn't have a lot of cover, but they could dig kind of a hole, and the enemy came up to them, and they were way outnumbered and surrounded. So here was Cleve and the private named Ralph Johnson. Now, Ralph Johnson, he was just, remember, common named man. But the enemy came and they started shooting at him. And along came a grenade. Now, a grenade is a very devastating weapon, and it's thrown, and they threw it into this hole where these two men were. Immediately, Ralph responded. Did he run like I did in the playground? No, he didn't, or else we wouldn't be talking about him. He jumped on that grenade and he died because that grenade exploded. And the man Cleve lived to tell the story about it. So this man was given the Medal of Honor. It's one of the most precious things that a friend can do for another friend in this life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So that was something that we can even understand from a natural level, that this man gave up his life for maybe his best friend. It says they cooked together. I guess that makes you good friends. You cook together. But you know what? I have a love note in this box that I'm going to open. It's a secret box, where I put some very precious things. But I want to share it with you because it's very valuable to me. It should be valuable to you children as well. So I have a love note in here. It's pretty green with hearts. And it says, Dear Barry, God demonstrates His love to you even when you were a sinner. How? Christ died for you. So our verse mentions that, you know, some people will give up their life because they love their friends. We were an enemy of the Lord, and He still gave up His life. No man will do that. Only the Lord Jesus will do that for you kids. Now, it's 10 o'clock, and let's sing one more song, and then we'll be done. Jesse. Okay, we'll sing number 46. Thank you, Jesse. For those of you that didn't get a love note, didn't get a pretty piece of paper, and even if you got one, I have lots more pretty pieces of paper. So you can come get one along with the stickers to close it shut and to play with as well. But I just want to ask you to, when you write on that piece of paper, think about what the Lord's done. Maybe write a nice message to another kid or an adult, maybe a Bible verse, something like that. I had a niece write me one yesterday, and it was, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was a nice note to get passed to me. So you're all welcome to have a sheet of paper to write on. So let's ask the Lord, or we'll give thanks to the Lord for Sunday school. And you guys can come up and get a piece of paper. There may be Sunday school papers to learn next week's verse too.